find the longest path.
Welcome to my third Complexity Cast, the podcast of the Computational Complexity Weblog. So today we got a special treat. We've got guests Troy Lee and Harry Berman. Troy Lee, brand new PhD from Amsterdam. So, hi Troy.
Hi Lance.
Hi Harry.
Hi Lance.
So Troy, I thought what I'd like to do is kind of talk about Dutch PhD defense, something a bit different than we're used to in America. So why don't you start trying to give a description of the scene?
Yeah, I guess the Dutch defenses are pretty special. So really, I guess it's sort of comparable to a wedding. I mean, you have it takes place in a church, and I was wearing a full tux and tails and bow tie, and I have two paranymphs with me, which are essentially like best men at a wedding. So they stand next to me when I'm at the altar and being questioned by the committee. And so it's about an hour-long ceremony. First, I just gave a 10-minute presentation, mostly for my family, just in, you know, layman's terms. And then there's about 45 minutes of questions from the committee. And there's Padel, a master of ceremony, who stays in character and has a very strict face and carries a big stick to come in and announce when the ceremony is over.
You make it sound so simple, but in fact, this committee that questions you is known as the opposition. And those of us who are full professors get to wear full academic garments. So, in fact, most of them wear the University of Amsterdam garments. But I brought my own, my PhD garments from MIT, and Dieter van Melkebeek was there with his University of Chicago garments. So, and then then what happens is after Troy gives us a little speech, which I never see, the opposition marches in behind the pedal, takes our seats in the choir box, whatever it's called, and starts to ask questions. Harry, do you have something you'd like to say?
Well, it was a good defense. Troy did well, though the questions were fierce and tough, especially from our Russian colleague. But Troy managed to answer all the questions and give reasonably good answers. And then we went back to have a meeting about how well he did and whether he should be given the doctorate. And surprise, surprise, we decided that he should get the doctorate and gave it to him. And then it was not a tough decision. And then it was my task to congratulate him and give him a little speech about the last 4 years. And then it was to another room again, having drinks and a little food. And then in the evening we had a very nice dinner with all the guests and all the people around, including Troy's parents and even aunts and uncles. That was it. That was the end of it. End of Troy in Amsterdam.
Yeah, there were a couple of parts about the defense I thought were interesting. One was Kolya's questions, you know, particularly what there was some point where he asked you if you knew how to fix a certain proof, and you were about to talk, and he says, "Now I want a binary answer, yes or no." But there's an interesting comment also made by Paul Vitani, who was also in the opposition, that he said that you were the first PhD that in Kamigawa of complexity. And I find that, given that Paul has, you know, co-authored a book on the subject, I find it a bit surprising. So Troy, if you don't know, is actually an American. Most of his life in Hawaii. And so what got you to Amsterdam and interested in Kamigawa complexity?
Well, originally I just came I was planning on just staying 1 year for a master's program. And that was something like, you know, once I graduated from university, then I sort of wanted to, do something a bit different and travel, but, you know, keep studying. And so Amsterdam had an English language master's program, and that looked good. At the time, I was interested in logic, so Amsterdam also, you know, has a good program in logic and history and logic with, like, Brouwer and people like that. So I originally came for a year, and then, you know, I met my advisor, Harry, and did my master's thesis with him, and he invited me for a PhD, and you know, I really liked working with him, and we got along well and everything, so I decided to stay. And I guess for Kolmogorov Complexity, I think it was, I remember Harry invited me over for dinner one night at his house, and that's when we really started talking about different projects and things. And you know, I was interested in randomness and, you know, power of randomness and computation, and resource-bounded Kolmogorov complexity seemed like an interesting way to address that. So I think that's how it started. So, but it is Harry, isn't it true that am I your first PhD student where you're the full promoter? Or
no, that's not, but you are the first one where I'm the only one.
The only one, okay.
The other two I shared with Paul.
Right.
But I don't remember the dinner, actually. Do you remember what we had for dinner?
The dinner? Oh, yeah. Well, the dinner, I guess, was... we went to sort of an interesting place. It's, I don't know if it's unique to Amsterdam, but...
No,
oh, it's your place. Oh. No, actually, I don't remember the dinner. I remember there was a gazpacho soup at the beginning, I think. Yes, it was excellent, yes.
Well, actually, why don't you tell us about the dinner? Because it's kind of an interesting dinner, the one we had after the defense.
So, yeah, the dinner was at what's called a housekammer, which is, I guess, literally just a living room. So it's just someone who started cooking for friends and, you know, just enjoyed hosting parties. And then I guess it sort of evolved into more of a business. So you just go into someone's living room, and there are about 20 of us sitting at a big long table. And then they cook for you, but it's really informal and cozy. So, I mean, you can just, if there's no more wine left on the table, you can just walk into the kitchen and get another bottle, and you can go and even help them cook and help bring the dishes into the kitchen. And so as you can play your own music and really, you know, it's sort of a more intimate type of arrangement. So it's really nice.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun there. It was kind of neat because I don't get to go, even in the U.S., I don't get to go to the fences for Americans. I don't have a lot of American PhDs in our own department. So it's kind of neat to actually talk to relatives. You know, we can talk, you know, playoffs, football playoffs and things like that. And not that I expected to do that in Amsterdam so much. You wanted to, any, want us to give just a brief overview about your research and the thesis?
Yeah, so, well, Kolmogorov complexity is basically, I guess, originally is a way to define randomness. So Kolmogorov gave the definition that a string is random if it has no description which is shorter than the length of its string itself. And so what I was studying was resource-bounded Kolmogorov complexity, where you put some complexity restrictions on the difficulty of reconstructing the original string from its program. And so basically I just looked at four theorems, four sort of fundamental theorems which from Kolmogorov complexity, which, you know, have been used in lots of applications and things, and then seeing if those theorems remain true in the resource-bounded case, so in particular with polynomial time restrictions.
Can you quickly name those four?
Oh, well, the first one is the incompressibility theorem, which just states essentially that there exists a random string. And so this also clearly holds in the resource-bounded case without any modifications, because it's only harder to reconstruct a string when you put some resource limitations. So, but a more interesting theorem is the language compression theorem, which basically states that for computable set A, every element in the set has a description of size about log cardinality of A. So I guess the most natural resource-bounded analog of that would be, say, for every set A and P, every element X in A has a description of size about log cardinality of A, from which X can be reconstructed in polynomial time. This is probably unlikely to hold, but we were able to show with Harry and Dieter van Melkabeek that it does hold if you're able to use non-deterministic programs. So then actually in polynomial time, you can describe every element in A with a description of size about log A in polynomial non-deterministic time.
Thanks. And just walked into our room is Kolya Vereshchagin, another one of the members of the opposition in Troy's defense. So, Kolya, do you have anything to say about the defense?
No, it was nice, very funny. I mean, compared with defense in Russia, it is just a show, not a real event. So I tried to make it, so to say, more live, more vivid, asking hard questions to Troy. And I would say I succeed to ask a question to which he couldn't answer. So I should... I was obliged, so to say, to help him somehow.
So, Troy, what's next for you?
Well, I'm going to be going to Paris for the next 3 months to there's a quantum semester workshop there, and so I'll be going there for the next 3 months and waiting to hear about postdocs, which would start next fall.
So, if anyone has a postdoc then for Troy, just Google on Troy Lee. Oh, look who just walked in. Lane Tornvliet, who I've seen in many of these defenses. So, Lane, what's your impression of this particular defense?
Of this particular defense? Well, I thought that this particular candidate was very relaxed and good in giving direct answers, though at some time he fell silent and didn't quite know what to say, especially the questions asked by Vereshchagin were very tough. We usually try to be a bit friendly, but this is sometimes not understood by our foreign visitors, who think that the exam is real and that the candidate may fail, and in fact some of them even try to make the candidate fail. They hardly ever succeed, I must say. There was a time when the candidate is still accompanied by two guards called paronyms, and there was a time in the old days when the paronyms really had swords to defend the candidate, but now this is no longer allowed. Now they're only allowed to assist them scientifically, and in fact it is still allowed for the candidate when there's a really tough question to retreat and consult his paronyms and come back with an answer. I'm sorry that when at this difficult time that Troy had when he didn't quite know the answer offhand, that he didn't use this opportunity to have a retreat and an intermission, because this is also something that almost never happens.
I have a member of the audience, Peter Grunwald.
It's me. Hello. I'd actually like to comment on the dinner after the thesis, which was actually very good, a great location, perfect for thesis dinners. I looked up the name of the main course in English, because I promised Troy to do so. It's called Guineafowl. So what we call parelhoen is Guineafowl. I think nobody knew that. But this isn't really relevant to your research, I guess.
Yeah, guinea fowl. It was certainly an interesting taste. It kind of, we thought it was more like game hen, I guess, was the closest, but I guess it's us. It's a slimmer but different bird. And we also have here Paul Vitani, also on the opposition, who has a few comments about the defense.
I was pretty happy to be able to attack Troy in a moderate manner, of course, because he is was, as I mentioned, an expert cat sitter in my house for many occasions. So we were very friendly and glossed over a lot of errors in the thesis, which we otherwise could have remarked upon. Altogether, it was an enjoyable thing. Dutch defenses, being as they are, it's a public occasion in an extremely pretty old church, which functions part of the week as the auditorium of the University of Amsterdam. It's the old Lutheran church from about 1600, recently restored by the contractor, well-known monumental contractor, J. Knepper's closed company, what do you call this, limited. And it's a very nice church of with a barrel-like vault on ceiling, with it functions in the weekend as the church for the old, I think, Lutheran community, probably the free community, one of the oldest and more strictest Dutch Protestant denominations. And in this venerable building we had this the particular defense where Troy sort of gave good answers to lots of questions, except the mean answers coming from the east, from Moscow, where he really lost his grip. On the other hand, but apart from that, everything went fine. The Lee family was in attendance in full force, beaming happily and proudly and making lots of pictures, photographs and films of the entire occasion. Troy's fiancée was there too. That was, of course, a pleasant spot to rest the eyes in the dreary proceedings. Afterwards, we had a nice reception where we could drink alcohol if we would have liked to, but unfortunately the time of the day was not like that, so most people stuck to orange juice. Then in the evening, of course, there was a great dinner and the large tables. We ate guinea fowl and risotto and drank a lot of wine, even champagne, I believe, or anyway, something which was a sort of foaming wine. Everybody left after the hour of midnight, I guess, some of them by taxi. So that was this was a memorable event.
Thanks, Paul. So I think one thing is that you can see that the defense at Amsterdam is really like combination graduation ceremony and all involved. So certainly, if you ever get the opportunity to attend, this is my fourth. I've done four of these now, and it's just it's always a load of fun. Thanks. Congratulations again, Troy. Good job. And thanks to I lost track of how many people commented on this weblog.
So, as the Pedal says at the end of the opposition, hora est, time is up, and so is ours. Till next time, remember, in a complex world, best to keep it simple.